640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The indictment against former President Trump has been unsealed in the classified documents case. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson takes a look.
Part of the heart of the new indictment is the focus on the efforts by Trump to, in fact, obstruct the FBI investigation and the grand jury investigation by having those who work for him, in fact, lie or mislead the FBI who was conducting the investigation.
Special Prosecutor Jack Smith spoke publicly about the case yesterday. He laid out the charges against the former president and said the U.S., quote, has one set of laws and they apply to everyone. What was in those documents? Here's CBS's Natalie Brand.
Some of the documents were marked top secret, some relating to nuclear weapon capabilities of the U.S. and its adversaries, as well as sensitive U.S. military planning.
The former president, who maintains he did nothing wrong, is expected in court in Miami on Tuesday. Air quality along the East Coast is slowly improving after several days of thick, unhealthy haze caused by hundreds of wildfires across Canada. Here's meteorologist Chris Warren at the Weather Channel.
To get some relief, it needs to come with a wind change. And with a cold front, this is not until early next week, southerly flow will arrive. And with that, it will keep a lot of that smoke up in Canada. But something we're still going to have to watch, because those fires are going to be hanging around for quite some time.
Climate activist Greta Thunberg has staged her last school protest now that she's a newly graduated from high school. But she says she's not giving up the fight for climate change.
This is only the beginning of the fight. The climate crisis is only getting worse.
Thunberg and her classmates have been holding a school strike for climate protest every Friday for the past 5 years. Four children who survived a small plane crash last month have been found alive after an intense search in the Amazon rainforest.
Four children, the youngest just 11 months old, survived a plane crash and then 40 days alone in one of the most hostile environments of Colombia's Amazon jungle, a region crowded with dangerous wild animals, guerrillas, and drug runners.
That's the BBC's Luis Fajardo. A common medication may help prevent long COVID, CBS's Michael George reports.
A common diabetes medication is shown to be helpful at preventing long COVID. A new study published in The Lancet found metformin, when taken after testing positive for COVID, led to 40% fewer long COVID diagnoses over the next 10 months compared to those who took a placebo. It's not clear whether the medication is helpful for those who already have long COVID.
This is CBS News.
Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trygve Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic
Media radio station and on the app.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing, advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs level off around 83 today under overcast skies. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows around 51. Overcast. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. 62. 70 Monday with a chance for scattered rain showers. 78 Tuesday. Showers continue. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently,
this summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Todd Alba Show, the Trump criminal indictment. You're listening to special live coverage on the Civic Media Radio Network across Wisconsin. It is now 2:15 in the afternoon. Just heard from the special counsel, Jack Smith, on the indictment of former President Donald Trump. We are being joined this hour by Trigby Olson, Wisconsin native and former state and national Republican strategist, now senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Also, at the bottom of the hour, Charles Franklin, the director of the Marquette Law School poll and professor emeritus at UW-Madison, will join us for what voters may think and react to this news today. But right now, we're going to the chair, a former chair, pardon me, of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. He is an attorney, which I love about him because he knows the law. He is a great host and my colleague as well here at Civic Media. It is Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct. Matt, reporting today that Trump is reportedly now facing at least 7 charges initially, now over 30 charges, which have just been unsealed, one of which, under the Espionage Act, His attorney last night, Jim Trusty, one of the attorneys, confirmed last night on CNN also charges of obstruction of justice, destruction of falsification of records, conspiracy, and false statements. We just heard from the special counsel. Matt, what is your knee-jerk reaction?
Yeah, I think this is a sad day, but an essential day for American democracy. It's always a sad day when a former president is indicted, and it has never happened before in our nation's history in a federal court. But it was essential. And here, let me boil this down very quickly. Initially, the reports were as a 7-count indictment, as you say. But just clarify, Jack Smith just spoke. I watched him speak. And they issued the entire indictment and made it public. It's actually 37 counts against Trump. 31 of them, frankly, do relate to the Espionage Act. Another 6 go from conspiracy to fraudulent concealment of documents. There's various ways of saying you conceal documents, and then also false statements and lying, basically, to the FBI, the Department of Justice, which is a felony. Now, here's my take on it. One of the most powerful things in the indictment, and I'm going to read it right now very, very quickly. Jack Smith did a great job. I was impressed. It was a very terse statement he made. There's a lot of character. But here's what it says in the indictment. It says, the documents that Trump took and showed to people, quote, included information regarding defense and weapons capabilities of both the U.S. and foreign countries, U.S. nuclear programs, potential vulnerabilities of U.S. and allies to military attack, and plans for retaliation in the event of attack. Trump shared a Pentagon plan of attack, and I know that it was against Iran. He didn't say it in the indictment, and shared a classified map related to a military operation against Iran. This was a precautionary document. If they attack us, we got to wipe them out. He did that up in Bedminster, New Jersey, waved it around. That was the time that they loaded those documents in Florida, put them on a plane, flew them to New Jersey to hide them from the Department of Justice. Now, his valet, they call him a valet. He's a body man. He's a guy you know in politics, guy, you know, I want a cheeseburger. Okay, here's a cheeseburger, that kind of thing. The body man. The body man, he told to move boxes, to quote, to conceal them from his lawyers and from the FBI. That's a felony. This poor guy, Walter Nett, I don't know why I say he's a poor guy. He's a Navy veteran, retired former chief petty officer, enlisted man. He's going to do whatever he's told, and depends on what Trump did say to him. But if Trump said that to him, which is what they say in the indictment, he has a lot of exposure. So bottom line, he is in a world of trouble. It's in Miami. One of the things I don't like is that the case so far has been assigned to Eileen Mercedes Cannon. The fix is in. She's the one that took a dive for him when it came to the initial investigation, slowed it up, put a special master in. She was reversed twice by the Fifth Circuit. And she can put sand in the gears if she wants to. So stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Matt, before we go to Trigby, on that point, some of the reporting that I've seen today on Ross' story in particular suggests that it could be that Judge Cannon might just do the initial arraignment and the long-term case could go to someone else. In your experience as an attorney, would that be common, or usually the person, the judge getting the arraignment, does the whole thing?
That would be uncommon in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, judges are picked on, they're called the wheel. It's a random assignment. So if I go in and file a case or have my messenger go in and file a case, the clerk, you know, reaches in and at random pulls out the names of one of the justices. That judge will stay throughout it, except that they occasionally will use a magistrate judge to handle some things. Well, Eileen Mercedes Cannon is not a magistrate judge. She's a full-fledged judge. I'm very concerned she'll stay on. Having said that, I've never tried a case in Miami. So it may be that they do it different down there in the wheel. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But everybody who knows anything about law down there has got to understand the fix is in. She is servile to Trump, deferential to Trump, and it will be a disaster if she stays on it, because she'll throw sand in the gears, and the whole thing will be very, very difficult.
Trigby Olson, a Wisconsin native, a former Wisconsin longtime political operative, and strategist here, went on to bigger and better things across the nation, worked at one time for former U.S. Senator and presidential candidate John McCain, and has done international work on democracy as well. Former Republican now, working as a senior advisor for the Lincoln Project. Trigvi, thanks for joining us, as you do each and every week, usually on Wednesdays. Just so happened this week it was on Friday. Timely indeed. What's your first reaction to today's news?
Well, I think, you know, Matt hit the nail on the head. It's a sad day for America when the former president is being indicted under the Espionage Act. It's another chink in those things that had made America exceptional in the eyes of the world and truly had separated us from a lot of other places. Now, that being said, we are a nation that's built on the rule of law. And I think at times we've forgotten, because Donald Trump uses the rules of democracy, but he doesn't play by the rules of democracy. We forget that. Now, you know, when you have people like the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, who admittedly is kind of an empty suit, he's a guy who wants to be, and one day maybe he'll be out doing the conservative lounge act thing. Maybe he and Scott Walker could be a duet. Right. But, you know, or he could open for Scott. But, you know, when you have the Speaker of the House basically saying Biden indicted, you know, the President of the United States or the Attorney General don't indict people in the United States. A grand jury of your peers indicts in the United States. And so, you know, you're seeing the Trump people react hard. You're seeing a lot of the people who are running for the Republican nomination trying to have it both ways. And then we're hearing what people like Mitch McConnell have said. Oh, wait. He hasn't said anything, has he, Todd? Yeah, I saw you and Matt wondering what McConnell had said.
Right, he hasn't missed that.
To the best of my knowledge, nothing. So you have those pieces going on simultaneously. But I think what's most important, and I've been following on Facebook, my peeps back home in Western Wisconsin primarily, and the activist class, even the activist class that doesn't support Trump, is rallying to Trump. And the idea that this doesn't make Trump stronger for a Republican primary is a fallacy. This helps him in a Republican primary.
Matt, I want to go back to Trigvi and get the this whole narrative, as Trigvi always reminds us, of the Republican side of weaponization. I want to ask Trigvi about that. But before, Trigvi brought up a great point, Matt, and from as an attorney, from a legal perspective, really important. As we hear this narrative from Republicans talking about the weaponization and, oh, Joe Biden did this, yes or no, it was a great stroke by Merrick Garland to appoint a special counsel to put that layer between the political side and the legal side.
I think that's exactly right. And not only that, if you took a look at Jack Smith, he has a lot of character. He has a lot of poise and he has a lot of ability and has a good reputation. They didn't just put some hack in there. And so what it does is it insulates Merrick Garland, who in turn insulates Joe Biden. And this is a career prosecutor. This is not a guy who wants to be a judge. He wants to do it. No, this is a guy who likes prosecuting cases, and he's very honest. So bottom line, I think that's exactly right. And I echo what Trigvi said. It is a sad day for America. I take no pleasure in this. And if the people of the Democratic Convention take any of it, they're misplaced, and I disassociate myself from that. This is very sad. But remember, this happened in France. It happened in Israel. There are first world democracies where occasionally this happens, and there is a rule of law. And we're talking our nuclear secrets, our attack plans, for Pete's sake. The guy was hiding this stuff? Why was he hiding this stuff?
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. I'm not sure hiding is the right word when it's in a ballroom at Mar-a-Lago. But before we get to that, Trigvi, the narrative, as you remind us so often on this show every week from the Republican Party, of which you and I are former members of, the narrative already is this weaponization, quote unquote, of politics and the law against Donald Trump from the Republican side.
Yeah, but it's not only that. It's you have people like Marsha Blackburn and, I mean, a slew of them, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley. They're saying things like there's two-tier justice. What they're trying to do is create fear amongst these people. And quite honestly, you're kind of seeing this. I mean, I have people who I know back home, one who's chair of a county Republican Party, who's going on and on about how they're scared that, you know, the radical left is going to weaponize justice against people like themselves. That's just ridiculous. And then you have people like Derek Van Orten, who's peddling, well, what about? What about Hillary's 1,000 emails? And then you got Glory Days Walker, his tweet about wagging the dog because of Biden and something that even Fox News says isn't true. Right? Like, where is the responsibility amongst these people? They're trying to scare these people. And when in reality, Donald Trump is going to be afforded, unlike people I know in places like Russia or Belarus or non-democratic places, Donald Trump was afforded a grand jury of his peers. Donald Trump will be afforded legal counsel. He will go in front of a jury if he so chooses. The rule of law is working with Donald Trump. There's nothing weaponized about it at all. And the only thing that is being weaponized here is Republicans trying to build narratives of fear at their base. And why they're doing that on behalf of Donald Trump, of all people, who is running around leaving the most valuable assets of the United States, the nuclear secrets about how the American people are defended from places like China and Russia, is beyond me.
About a minute before the break, a minute and a half or so, Matt, real quick, was watching CNN's coverage last night. I think it was Van Jones who brought this up. What do you think about this theory that Trump knew this was coming? And that part of the reason he decided to run is because when it comes to the legal system, this probably won't be calendared until late spring or summer going into early fall next year after the New York case. And the theory is that he'll simply try to run out the clock, get reelected, and his own Justice Department could legally dismiss the charges.
That is all true. And it was highly speculated back when he did announce. Remember how early he announced? He announced last fall. Was precisely to try to, first of all, deter the prosecution. He didn't do a normal campaign at the beginning. He didn't have staff. He didn't have the right stuff. So I think that's exactly true. And it will be, especially if it's Eileen Mercedes Cannon, she'll drag this out till the cows come home. And it's going to go beyond November of 24. And the question is he benefited by this, maybe in a Republican Party? I don't see how he's benefited in a general election, but I could be wrong.
No. We're going to come back, talk about all of that. Charles Franklin will join us on What the Voters Say. Stay with us. This is a special report on the Todd Allball Show, the Trump criminal indictment, on the Civic Media Radio Network across Wisconsin.
Summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A new indictment against former President Trump accuses him of willfully defying government demands to return classified documents, and that's not all.
The indictment also alleges that Trump showed documents to others who did not have security clearances on at least two occasions at his golf club in New Jersey.
CBS's Natalie Brand. Air quality is slowly improving after that unhealthy haze from Canadian wildfires. Here's meteorologist Chris Warren at the Weather Channel.
You will likely notice some hazy skies this weekend with some smoke around. A lot of that smoke and haze will be higher up in the atmosphere, so it should be safe to go outside for most people.
Four children who survived a small plane crash in the Amazon rainforest a month ago have been found.
Elite military forces found the children this Friday. Thousands of Colombians took to social media to share the first pictures of the children alive.
The BBC's Luis Fajardo, CBS News Brief.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our estate with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Walpole area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Do you love getting rewards when you shop? Then shop Knucklehead CBD and Vapes with the Knuckleheads Club. Every $10 spent gets you closer to 25% off. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads. Stop in Saturday and Sunday and get 15% off Wellness and Wellness Plus, including Delta 8, THCP, CBD, and more, while getting points towards your next purchase. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes, your one-stop smoke shop, located at 520 State Street in Madison. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads.
The Brandy Old Fashioned is Wisconsin's official cocktail. How do you go about making yours a little official-er? Mix in Wisconsin's own Drink Wisconsinly Brandy. It's smooth, it's delicious, and it's bottled right here in Wisconsin, giving your Brandy Old Fashioned even more local flavor. And what about those times you're out and about and don't want to bring along a muddler in a glass? Drink Wisconsinly's got you covered then, too, with their Brandy Old Fashioned in a can. Enjoy Wisconsin's quintessential cocktail anywhere. Ask for Drink Wisconsinly beverages where brandy is served or sold. Remember to think responsibly when you drink Wisconsinly. Drink Wisconsinly Beverage Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Todd Alba Show, the Trump criminal indictment. Joining us this half hour, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, a former Republican strategist, Trigby Olson, Matt Flynn, our civic media colleague and attorney, former chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, and host of Matt Flynn Direct. And this hour, Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette Law School poll and professor emeritus at UW-Madison. We welcome you back to our special ongoing coverage this half hour. Gentlemen, we appreciate you all being with us today. I want to start off, Trigby, with something you brought up over the break. And Matt, your response to juries.
Yeah, so, you know, my question to Matt was, how do you ensure that you don't end up with some MAGA sleeper on your jury?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. In what's called the voir dire process, that's where you question the jurors, they will be given a certain amount of what are called peremptory strikes, 3, 4, whatever it is. And the only thing that's forbidden, especially for the prosecution, is to use them racially. You can't, in the old days, they would just strike black jurors. But as long as you don't do it racially, you can do it for any reason whatsoever. And they'll ask a lot of skillful questions. Do you have any bumper stickers in your car? Active in the party, any party, or any of your relatives? What do you think about this issue? And you can build a composite of what they're like. They will strike the most extreme MAGA candidates. They'll also strike the most extreme, you know, anti-Trump Democrats. Now, what's left? There could be sleepers. The worst thing that happens is what's called a hung jury, 12 jurors. So it could be 11-1, 10-2, 9-3, 8-4 for conviction. If that happens, the judge gives what's called an Allen charge. It's called a dynamite charge. Brings them into the courtroom and just lashes them and tries to make them come together. If that doesn't work, they declare a mistrial and the prosecution can prosecute them all over again. But these are good prosecutors. They should be able to sniff out the real extremists.
Matt, you brought this up at the beginning of this special report and this special hour. The unknown here is doing this in Miami versus D.C. There was another pundit last night on one of the shows I was watching that brought this up. The facts may not matter. And you know, as an attorney, sometimes, you know, a good attorney can get around the facts with this jury. But the point being that doing this in Miami, very different than D.C., where grand juries tend to go along with the law, where in Miami, you're going to have a lot of folks who are, you know, there's a big Cuban Republican movement who hate communism, who hates big government, who buys into all these theories of the deep state. is it going to be tougher for the prosecution, in this case, the Department of Justice, to get a jury of the peers that's going to adhere more to the law?
Yeah, I'll say two things and I'll break it on your air here. First of all, there was one of the acts committed in New Jersey, Bedminster, New Jersey. That can bootstrap all the rest in. I do not know why they didn't try that. They were worried about a venue mode. The second thing, though, it reminds me of the O.J. Simpson trial. When O.J. murdered those people, and he flat out murdered these people, it was in a venue that would have been very favorable to the prosecution. The prosecutor decided to be progressive about it, so he moved it into L.A., and O.J. is acquitted. What I'm concerned about in this thing is, you're right, you have a lot of Cuban refugees and a lot of other, Venezuela, a lot of other people, Colombia, who very rightly don't like socialism. This isn't about socialism. This is about our nuclear secrets. This is about our attack plans against Iran, and that's got to be emphasized. But there is a danger in bringing it down there that you'll get at least a hung jury because of that characteristic.
Thanks for the clarification. That's why you're here. We appreciate you. Let's go now to Charles Franklin, who runs one of the best polls, I believe, in the country. Of course, I'm a little biased, but the Marquette Law School poll has been spot on time after time and election after election. Charles, you came out with a recent poll at Marquette Law School. Were you looking at things like this? And maybe not this, obviously, the indictment per se, but did you look at this subject of Trump and where voters are looking at when it comes to the primary for the 2024 election?
Sure. So we finished a poll in May, just 2 weeks ago, and it shows what all the national, this is a national poll, not a Wisconsin poll, shows what all the polls are showing, that Trump is at around 50% in the GOP primary. I think we had him at 48, but he's very close to 50, with DeSantis at about 25, and everybody else is below 10% down in single digits. And that's very consistent with other polling. Trump, in his favorability ratings among Republicans, fell off by about 10 points during the fall last year, but has recovered almost all of that as of our May poll. Now, obviously, the indictment comes after that poll. But I think one of the important things is that beginning in September last year, we repeatedly asked a simple question. Do you think Donald Trump had classified documents at Mar-a-Lago? Just yes or no. Over 65% of the general public say that he did.
Wow.
But among Republicans, 62% say he did not have classified documents in Mar-a-Lago. It's 92% of Democrats who say he did, of course.
Sure.
So I think we're seeing some of that play out. When we would listen to what people said, they would say, no, I don't think he had them because I think he declassified them. You know, so it was clear they'd sort of absorbed that message that whether the documents were there or not, they could still say they weren't classified. Now we have the charges, the specific claims being made. And so maybe that changes opinion some. On the other hand, look at the rhetoric from Republican politicians last night, and it very clearly skirted the question of what he had at Mar-a-Lago and focused on whether this was a politically motivated prosecution. And so you see a very different perspective and rhetoric from Republicans, while Democrats are focusing on the documents themselves. And, you know, just earlier, a few minutes ago, the indictment was unsealed. So I've read through that now. And so there are very specific charges being made there.
Fascinating number, Charles, on whether people believed there were classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. Now we know, according to the Department of Justice, there were, in fact, we've seen the photos. Trigvi Olsen, how does this... You know, this gets to this big story. We don't have time to get into the whole story, but Chris Licht, the CEO, former CEO of CNN, now booted out. And a lot of that was over the Trump propaganda town hall about what is the truth. Are the numbers that Charles just cited, is there any chance that people are going to look at this, Republicans in the primary, and say, we believe the truth? It comes down to, you could, is it raining? Is it not raining? But you can't agree on if it's raining or not.
Well, I think Chris's situation at CNN may have had something to do with that, although you know, the fact that ratings were down 40% since he took over probably also had something to do with his getting pushed out. But to the bigger point, I mean, a couple of things I think that are important as Charles was talking. One, I can tell you when you're sitting in the room mapping out a Republican presidential campaign, because
you've done it
twice, you sit there and you only think about three things. So you think about Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, and how it plays in those three states. Because the truth of the matter is, in the modern Republican nominating process, no one has won without winning two of those three, has won the nomination. Second thing you think about is, what is the buzz look like in terms of donations and donors? Major donors, usually. But in Trump's case, that doesn't really matter because it's primarily small dollar donors. And the reality, then the third thing that you think about is, okay, I win Iowa or New Hampshire. How do I, and then South Carolina is going to be the tiebreaker. Mm. How do I sustain things in what everybody's out of money after Iowa and New Hampshire? So how do you sustain things on earned media momentum? And again, I don't know how much that applies to Trump. Trump's vulnerability, if you're Chris LaCivita, who's running Donald Trump's campaign, who incidentally, for Wisconsin listeners, Chris LaCivita is the guy who literally swift boated John Kerry. He also is the guy who ran Ron Johnson's campaign. Chris LaCivita knows how to win in Wisconsin in tough environments. He's really good. Not your father's Donald Trump. If you're LaCivita, you're thinking, as long as we can keep the field divided, and as long as I can keep Trump above 42-43%, I'm liking my chances on those three things. Because money is going to come in because of the indictment and rallying. His donors will rally. He's got a good shot at winning Iowa or New Hampshire and probably South Carolina. And then that momentum play, he's in pretty good shape because as long as the field's divided.
Matt Flynn, we appreciate you so much for joining us. I know you have to go because you're getting ready for your own program. This coverage will continue on Matt's show at the 3 o'clock hour. Matt Flynn direct across the entire Civic Media Radio Network. You can get the program on the Civic Media app. Do not miss it. Matt, what are you going to focus on and what's coming up? And I'll give you the final word before you have to run here to your own show.
Very quickly, I think what everybody has said, Trigby and Charles is correct, but there's one fly in the ointment that I am very curious about. And that is, why did a guy who wouldn't even read briefing papers, who had to be given them in cartoons, suddenly go to all this trouble to hide it, lie about it, and move it? Did he intend to monetize it? Now, if that fact comes out, why he did this, and it in any respect involved conveyance to a foreign power, then I don't care what the jury's like in Miami or what country they fled or any of this business. People are really not going to like that. Mm-hmm. So I'll sit back and I'll look. And that's one thing that puzzles the heck out of me. A guy who never read these papers, who wanted them, you know, boiled down in two sentences with an emoji or something. Why is he doing this? These are complicated papers.
Right.
Why is he doing this?
Great question, Matt. I'm sure your callers will want to discuss that with you. Do not miss Matt Flynn direct coming up at the top of the hour. Matt, thanks for taking the time and going out of your way. We always appreciate your legal analysis and your expertise. Thank you so much, my friend.
Great being on with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Go to Charles Franklin. Charles, your opinion a little bit, I'm not trying to ask an opinion or analysis politically, but just in you've followed elections for a long time. You've looked at the numbers. When you look at things like what Matt just said, factual things, such as, you know, did Trump sell secrets for monetary purposes? I want to be careful. We don't know that. But Matt raises this good point. It could be a possibility. These more severe charges, if proven true in court, do you think that the tighter or the stronger the facts, are people, even Republicans, moved by something like that?
Well, I think it's a real challenge to move opinion when we are so committed to our heroes on the right or on the left, for that matter. I think that the indictment lays out the documents that he retained and the steps that he went through to not hand over or have looked over a number of boxes that he moved out of the storage area to his residence and so on. So there's pretty strong charges there. There's nothing alleged in the indictment at this point concerning distributing the documents anywhere else, though there are two incidents that are cited in which he apparently showed documents to other people, people coming to interview him for a book, and another circumstance in which he apparently did show classified information to them, and they were certainly not cleared, and he at that point was out of office. So there are some allegations there, but there's most of the charges are about the retention of the documents and the steps that he took to conceal them or not hand them over to the FBI.
And quickly, Charles, in your polling at Marquette Law School poll, what do you feel the base is? The people who are going to vote for Trump come hell or high water.
Well, I think that's probably in the range of 30% of Republicans, but there's certainly another 20% to 25% that are easily persuadable to vote for him. What we really see is that over 70% of Republicans are favorable to Trump, but about 50% will choose him first among the primary list. So there is some slippage there. And what you hear in focus groups all the time is concern that he comes with baggage and maybe we Republicans should move to an alternative candidate in order to win the presidency, not allow Joe Biden to be reelected. So I think that's the place where slippage could occur.
How do you move those Republican voters in a presidential campaign? We'll ask a guy who's done it before, Trigvi Olson, along with Charles Franklin. More on a special report, the Trump criminal indictment, on Civic Media after this.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes, located at 520 State Street in Madison. Order online today at knuckleheads.shop. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies today with daytime highs approaching 83. Winds out of the west 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows level off around 51. Cloudy skies. Cloudy again tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. High of 62. Chance for scattered showers Monday and Tuesday. 70 Monday, 78 Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently,
this summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crew. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Todd Alba Show, a special report on the Trump criminal indictment. You are listening to Civic Media across Wisconsin. Time now, 2:50. That is 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We'll have a special network news update for you and then a special edition of Matt Flynn Direct. We appreciate him joining us this past hour. We are still joined for our final segment by Trigvi Olson, who is a former Republican like myself, former Republican strategist, now senior advisor. advisor to the Lincoln Project across the country. Also, we have Professor Charles Franklin, the director of the Marquette Law School poll, and Professor Emeritus of UW-Madison. Gentlemen, we thank you for being with us again on this historic day. Before the break, Charles was talking about these numbers and these base Republican voters, Trigvi, a universe of anywhere maybe 30 or 35% plus that just aren't going to go anywhere. You've run presidential campaigns across this country before on the Republican side. As someone who's been in the trenches, what do you do if you're Ron DeSantis's camp or Chris Christie or go right down the line? What's the play?
Well, I think you gave two examples who have very different strategic objectives going in. I mean, Chris Christie's in the race. He can say he's running to win. He's running to tear Donald Trump apart. DeSantis has a real challenge because, you know, and Charles and I were talking about this offline. The issue is, in a general election, DeSantis has to be able to get the people in a state like Wisconsin who voted Evers Johnson to support him. Okay, because they voted Biden and then they voted Evers, but they voted for Johnson. Those are the people who decide a general election. But to get to the point where those people matter, he's got to keep the whole Trump coalition together. And if he takes Trump out, how does he take Trump out without alienating those hardcore Trump people who aren't going to vote for anybody else? And losing 4% on either side of that, which is kind of called the Bannon line, because Steve Bannon used to talk about it quite a bit, either the Bannon line or the inverse Bannon line, that's a real challenge. Or any of these guys, which is why they're acting the way they are, quite frankly.
And Charles, you said during the break, what were DeSantis's numbers up to at one point?
Yeah. We're looking at DeSantis's favorability among Republican voters that are favorable to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And that number had climbed near 80% favorable to DeSantis and to Trump. It's fallen off in the last couple of months quite a bit, down to about 60% favorable. But the point is that DeSantis was viewed very favorably by Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. And so you could imagine those Trump supporters turning to DeSantis as an alternative if they thought Trump was unelectable or too damaged or too much baggage. But as Trump has now directly started attacking DeSantis, those numbers have come down. He's not in as good a position. But the challenge really is, how does anybody in the party critique Trump in a way that's damaging to Trump and not damaging to themselves at the same time?
I mean, just strictly from a number standpoint, based on your experience in campaigns and polling, to bring someone, your opponent's numbers down, usually by standing up with them and defending them, is probably not the way to do that.
not traditionally the approach, right?
Probably aren't going to be real successful. And so, Trigvi, if you're, you know, and I mean, besides Ron DeSantis, really, who do you consider right now a top-tier candidate as any sort of a potential challenger to Trump?
So, again, as I was saying in the previous break, you know, when you're sitting there in the room, you're only thinking about Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina.
Sure.
At the end of the day, because there's so much momentum there, right? If you don't win those two, you're done. You're Marco Rubio. Or if you say, I'm going to wait till we get to Florida, which is like fifth in the process, you're Rudy Giuliani. How did that work out? The process leaves you behind. So beating Donald Trump in Iowa with multiple candidates in the field is going to be really hard, because it seems like the evangelicals are sticking with them. Ron DeSantis isn't the likely first place that those evangelicals would go in a race with like Nikki Haley and Mike Pence in it, right? So if you're the DeSantis campaign, you're probably sitting there saying, all right, New Hampshire is where we make our stand, right? But and there's some argument there because independents can vote. You know, there's no Democrat primary. In theory, Democrats can cross over and vote in New Hampshire. But Donald Trump won New Hampshire last time, and he won it pretty strongly. So that's a challenge. And then you go to South Carolina, you got Nikki and Tim in the race. So it kind of takes that off. And then, quite frankly, it's South Carolina. I mean, Trump's got to be hovering up. If he's at 48 in Wisconsin, he's at 62 in South Carolina. So, and by the time you get to Florida, if Ron DeSantis has lost the first four after that, Nevada, no one's going to be talking about it. You're not going to be getting to Florida. And so it's, you know, it's the prisoner's dilemma. That was the thing in 16. Kasich didn't want to get out. They were all for a head-to-head against Donald Trump, but they all wanted to be the guy in the head-to-head race.
3 minutes left. I'm looking for a quick answer, Trigvi, but I just want to get your take on this. We've seen some of the pictures. I haven't looked at all of them. I think you've seen more than I have. There are pictures in this indictment of nuclear, well, presumably nuclear secrets in the Trump ballroom, in the linen closet. I mean, how bizarre is this?
I mean, I said to somebody else today, if you were to walk into a Hollywood studio and pitch that indictment, they'd laugh you right out.
Right.
And the idea that some of the most classified secrets that we have, and the nuclear, certainly strategies for nuclear war, are some of the most closely held things that the United States government has, and the vulnerabilities that we have to attack, sitting around in a shower, for God's sakes, there's no way that that stuff isn't in other people's hands. The one thing that I will say is, and this came up earlier, if it is true that he was trying to sell them, then I think all bets are off. It's over if they have proof of that.
Charles, a quick answer, if I could, please. Just based on the numbers, based on your knowledge of elections and history in America, looking at where Trump's numbers are now, pretty tough for someone to overtake those numbers just from a numbers standpoint in a primary at this point, unless what Trigvi just cited.
I think there's no question he's the front runner, and anybody that tries to tell that story differently is just wrong. On the other hand, in past elections, we have seen single-digit candidates get their moment in the sun and zoom up in the standings for a few weeks, only usually then to collapse. So I do think it's possible that some of these others will get their moment to make the case, but the big challenge is, do they succeed in keeping that momentum or not? But wouldn't bet for it.
Trigvi, I'll give you the last word, 20 to 30 seconds. Have we seen the biggest news so far, or are there more bombshells to come?
No, I think Jack Smith's investigating what happened on 1-6, so there's that coming too. I would just say, you know, John McCain was at 2% at one point in July. He came back and was the nominee. Scott Walker was at 30%, and he was out in a Vegas lounge act within 2 years. So, conservative Vegas lounge act. So, you know, that stuff can change quickly.
Trigvi Olson, Lincoln Project, Charles Franklin, Professor Emeritus at UW-Madison and Head of the Marquette Law School Poll. We thank you. This has been a special report of the Tom Allbolt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Aaron Zommer's Board Game of the Week is back next week. Stay tuned now for a special edition of Matt Flynn Direct. The Trump indictment special report continues. Don't go anywhere. This is the Tom Allbolt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When snack time rolls around, don't settle for the same old. Spice it up with Emmanuel's Mix. Imagine this: corn rice cereal, pretzels, and mammoth pecans, plus a unique coating that perfectly melts sweet and salty. Emmanuel's Mix Spicy Blend even won first place in the Grand Champion Eats and Treats competition at the Wisconsin State Fair. Now that's tasty! A proud member of Something Special from Wisconsin and served on the sweet level of Fiserv Forum. Emmanuel's Mix. Log on to emmanuelsmix.com. That's emmanuelsmix.com. And get snacking!
The Brandy Old Fashioned is Wisconsin's official cocktail. How do you go about making yours a little official-er? Mix in Wisconsin's own Drink Wisconsin Blee Brandy. It's smooth, it's delicious, and it's bottled right here in Wisconsin, giving your Brandy Old Fashioned even more local flavor. And what about those times you're out and about and don't want to bring along a muddler in a glass? Drink Wisconsin Blee's got you covered then, too, with their Brandy Old Fashioned in a can. Enjoy Wisconsin's quintessential cocktail anywhere. Ask for Drink Wisconsin Blee beverages where brandy is served or sold. Remember to think responsibly when you drink Wisconsin Blee. Drink Wisconsin Blee Beverage Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
We think it has to do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel!
It's your
Ethel,
turn.
Calm down.
What are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once-in-a-lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Prize goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
would
that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.